Hello and welcome to the Geek & Rue Podcast. I'm Jeremy Pappas. Alongside, as always, it's the gruesome twosome of Russell Jones and Adam Philpott. Guys,
I figured you guys need some help this week on the podcast because the whole world just shit news all over the place.
Just everywhere. There's just news spattering the walls. It's painting the garage.
It's like trying to hold an armful of apples, or when you're trying to pull your laundry out of the dryer and you're trying to keep everything together, but you always lose a sock or a shirt on the way to the bedroom. Maybe I'm the only person who does that.
In this case, the dropped sock that winds up under the dryer has got to be the news that came today that Heroes is apparently coming back to NBC.
It's interesting. I didn't really watch Heroes to begin with. I know that it kind of got shit on by the writer's strike, and when the actual writers came back, it was pretty much broken beyond repair. It's like leaving, you go away for the weekend, you accidentally leave the dogs out, and you come back, and you just have to move because they've destroyed your entire house. It's sort of the same thing. way back when. It's interesting to me, though, that I can only compare it to, it's coming back as a miniseries, allegedly. I can only compare it to Family Guy, where they cancel Family Guy, fans go crazy, DVD sales are outrageous, and that got them to bring Family Guy back. You can't say the same thing about Heroes, yet all of a sudden...
Heroes did the opposite of Family Guy, where it started off strong and then completely shit the bed.
Right, so it's who was... If you were asking for more Heroes... drop us a line. Let us know, because you may be single-handedly responsible for...
Might be the same people who were asking for Space Jam 2.
That rumor. And that rumor got knocked down fast.
Yeah, well, LeBron James... originally, the rumor was that LeBron James was going to do Space Jam 2, which to me makes no damn sense. How do you make another Space Jam movie? I mean, it's already an inspirational sports movie starring an athlete and the Looney Tunes. How do you remake that movie? They fight, like, different massive monsters? Do you get another
different
Ghostbuster
aliens
to show up? Like, I don't...
Ernie Hudson.
Yeah, Ernie, exactly.
I want to see Ernie Hudson go toe-to-toe with LeBron James.
You know, I might actually, if someone had pitched that to me, I might actually have gone to see it. Opposed to initially having the reaction of, no.
No. Bad movie company.
And people who were, you know, talking about this that I saw were saying, like, oh, quit whining. LeBron's very charismatic, much better than Jordan. And he's going to, and I'm like, stop right there.
For me, Space Jam is special in that it's the first movie that I didn't like and everyone around me did. And I remember people getting pissed off at me for not really liking, because I was really young when Space Jam came out. Like, I was the target audience, and I didn't really like basketball, and I really liked Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is a superior movie in all ways.
Oh, yeah.
And even to a lesser extent, Mary Poppins, and I saw this and I was like, I like the Looney Tunes as much as the next guy, but this is sort of lame, everybody. And I remember people like hating my guts for a little while. So that was my first taste of having a contrarian opinion about movies, which has now blossomed into the glorious creature you see before you. Because I didn't hate it all that much, you know. It goes away.
I remember seeing it vaguely and just thinking it was stupid. And I loved the Looney Tunes when I was a kid. I loved the cartoons when they come on Nickelodeon. The movie was dumb. I also didn't care much for basketball. I don't remember anybody in school talking about it all that much. I remember there was a lot of merchandise based around it.
Tons of merchandise.
But I don't remember anybody really talking about the movie.
I had the official soundtrack. I am ashamed.
But Russell was you were a basketball fan at one point.
Well, I was a basketball fan in that I was a Michael Jordan fan. Because basketball was like the only sport that I was playing at the time.
That makes sense. If I were playing basketball, I would probably have enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
But I still don't really know how basketball works.
But at the same time, there's a portion of my brain that was watching it, kind of like the portion of my brain that whenever I was watching the Super Mario movie, I recognized that this movie is not that, you know, as far as like a movie, it's not that great. it's just another chance for me to watch things that have Mario Brothers or right. that have, you know, Looney Tunes. This is a list of things that I like, and they're in a pot, right. and I don't care whether or not they were cooked to the proper temperature.
Exactly. Sometimes movies are made to your specifications.
Yeah. I was absolutely the target for that, and I bit it hook, line, and sinker, even though I knew it was a hook, a line, and a sinker.
But you still enjoyed it, so that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have no time to talk about any of that.
Yeah,
we can go on and on forever talking about both of those things. That could be a whole podcast. Throw in some other thing. I just bought the two-player version of Settlers of Catan called Rivals for Catan, which is actually really good. We could even throw that in. That's a podcast we're not even having today.
Yeah.
That whole thing's not even going to happen. Why? Because, well, Guardians of the Galaxy, first of all, not only did we get the full-length trailer in Jimmy Kimmel,
And it was awesome.
It's a great trailer. Let's start out talking about the trailer. We can mention the poster later. The poster, I think, just came out today or yesterday.
Yeah, they announced, or at least I first saw it on IO9 today.
It's the poster is really cool. It's one of those things I'll probably buy. Let's talk about the trailer itself. If you haven't seen it already, I'm linking it in the podcast page. Go take a look at it before we really get into it. Was it what you expected from Guardians of the Galaxy? Because this is our first real bite out of the movie. I mean, it's been cooking for a while. We've been looking in the pot a little bit, tasting a little bit of the sauce. Oh, that kind of tastes good. But this is our first real healthy bite of the movie. Is it what you expected? And do you think the trailer adequately sets up what we're going to see in the movie?
I'm gonna say that it's not what I expected, but it's not what I expected in all of the best ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot more irreverent than what I had expected. I knew Chris Pratt was going to be playing Star-Lord, but uh-huh. I didn't know exactly what that meant because, you know, everybody loves Chris Pratt on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, we didn't know we were getting Andy Dwyer's Star-Lord.
I didn't know I was getting Andy Dwyer's Star-Lord because Chris Pratt, you know, he's also got some dramatic chops.
He did Zero Dark Thirty.
He was in Zero Dark Thirty, and he was, you know...
And he was in Her.
More action-y than that.
Yeah, oh, Zero Dark Thirty.
I've not seen Her.
Her, I hated it, but I'm, again, remember me in Space Jam. He was in Her, he played kind of a, he was sort of the midway point between the Navy SEAL in Zero Dark and Andy Dwyer. I had a lot of people saying, wow, they really buffed Andy Dwyer up, and there were a lot of pictures of him as Star-Lord, you know, nice and buff, and then him as Andy with, like, four chins. But then I'm like, did none of you people watch Zero Dark Thirty? Like he was a fucking Navy SEAL. Like he was there. But Chris Pratt is really good at gaining a lot of weight for a role and then losing it to become buff for an action hero type.
Yeah, and he's talked about that and saying, you know, it's not healthy at all. But
no,
still,
it's not.
But it happens.
But back to the trailer. Yeah, it kind of started out like I expected to, with him walking into that chamber and he's got the light in his hand and picks up whatever jewel or whatever it was that he grabs, and like they come in and they're like, drop it. And then he, you know, just I'm Star-Lord, man. Like that moment, they're like, who are you? Star-Lord, man. Notorious Outlaw, come on.
And then you have
I was
John
like,
C.
okay, this
Riley.
Is great. Yeah, as I can't remember the character's name, but yeah, he's in the Nova Corps.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know,
like, who calls him that mostly?
Him, yeah. It's I think a lot of people, and I've heard from several people, they were a little taken aback by just how funny the trailer was. Some people didn't really like that. They thought it was a little too goofball, a little too, you know. Would you agree with that at all, or is it because we have to remember that this is a James Gunn vehicle?
Yeah. Right.
And if you're not familiar with James Gunn has done some really great stuff, including he's actually done a superhero movie before. He did a movie called The Supers, which is a really good movie if you've never seen it. He's done a superhero movie before. He also wrote Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of things that exist almost solely on the internet, he did a web series called PG Porn, which is hilariously funny. But
he did the screenplay for Dawn of the Dead, which the remake, the 04 remake, which was good.
So he's got those chops, but he's known for being funny.
And I think that's what a lot of people who didn't really, you know, get either the full breadth of the Marvel Universe or, you know, they've seen the stuff that they've seen so far, and almost all of it has been very serious. And it starts off, like Adam said, in that serious tone. And to be honest, that's what I expected to see. I expect them to come in and say, you know, here's this big space epic, and it's going to be super serious, and it's going to be, you know, just crazy explosions shooting out. And it's like basically like Die Hard in space, but I wasn't expecting the humor of Die Hard, which exists, to show up, at least the length that it did. But as soon as Uga Chaka started up, I was like, oh man, oh, this is going to be fun. And that's the thing. The movie is going to be, more than anything else, I think it's going to be fun. And I think that's what people weren't expecting.
Right.
And I'm perfectly happy with that.
I've been hearing people comparing it to Farscape, honestly. And I don't know if either of you have ever watched the Farscape series.
I watched quite a bit of Farscape.
It's up on Netflix right now. If you haven't watched it, Jeremy,
do it. I'm not a sci-fi guy.
Yeah. It's a Jim Henson Workshop sci-fi.
But it's Muppets. Yeah, it's Muppets in space, Jeremy.
They're also actually doing a Farscape movie that was just announced. Really? Another Farscape movie. Okay. The same writer, director that did the show. I think it was a showrunner too. He did the show, and then he did the movie after the show ended to kind of wrap things up. They're doing another movie. So that kind of also came out of nowhere this week. But yeah, Farscape gets compared to this a lot because the crew is so, you know, wildly different, and yet they band together and do the various things.
Right, right.
One thing that interested me, we see this, you know, kind of Usual Suspects line up throughout the trailer, and we get these descriptions of the characters. And Marvel UK on YouTube had 30-second spots for each individual character, talking with the voice actor, showing little bits here and there. You actually hear Rocket Raccoon's voice from Bradley Cooper for like a line. No Groot yet, though, because they're saving that because they have to. Because
that's the big question. That's the big question about Groot. Now, Vin Diesel is Groot. In quotation marks. He is Groot in the same way Andy Serkis is Gollum.
Vin Diesel actually do the motion capture for Groot?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know, but I would assume so. So the thing with Groot is there are certain iterations of Groot where he says nothing. He's a tree, he does not talk. There are certain iterations of Groot where all he says are his name, kind of like a Pokemon, or I am Groot. There are also certain iterations of Groot where he talks normally. So which one are we getting?
I'm betting that it will be the former, primarily because we haven't heard his voice yet, and because the Guardians of the Galaxy were also kind of teased and used in the Lego Marvel video game that just happened. And when you run into Groot, all he says whenever he's giving you missions to do is, I am Groot. So, you know. Also, Vin Diesel confirmed that he is doing mocap mocap.
Okay.
That was back in April last year. So, yeah, I think that that's the version we're going to see because they haven't heard the voice yet and because it's Vin Diesel because he's the Iron Giant.
See, I think we'll get something more along the lines of the Iron Giant. The Iron Giant, didn't talk much, but he also wasn't, you know, he wasn't a Pokemon either.
Right.
He, you know, at most, I think we'll get, you know, maybe a good 2-sentence, you know, phrase out of him.
Because
he could always be Silent Bob, where he doesn't say
Rocket
a lot.
Raccoon is his Jay.
Exactly.
Works pretty well. Because they're paired up throughout the. That works so well.
We just gave Kevin Smith his next movie. He's he's probably secretly listening to this podcast, and then and he's gonna smodcast it, and he's gonna be like, I came up with this great idea all on my own.
I'm gonna do a spinaway.
Send me
Marvel
my check,
movie.
Smith.
I'm gonna do a spinaway Marvel movie with Rocket Raccoon, but he's Jay and Groot
selling
Silent
drugs.
Bob, and they're outside the Quick Stop.
Oh god!
Nice. But the trailer for Guardians was great. It was irreverent. It was a lot funnier than I expected it to be. I thought
it
would be
genuinely funny.
Yeah,
and honestly,
it wasn't like clever, haha, funny. Jokes were had. And jokes were funny, and I laughed at them. Like, it was a funny, it was, like, comedic movie funny.
Yeah. And it sets the tone going into this, because this is a laughable group, and yet they are going, yet they're going to be going after an Infinity Gem, two of which we already know about. We know the collector's involved. That's going to be part of the whole movie. So there's, you know, there's going to be serious stuff happening, but this is the most laughable group of people possible. It's like the opposite of the Avengers. With the Avengers, you had to be like, okay, here are all these heroes, but can they work together? Now, here is a group of absolute impossible ragtag misfits. How could they possibly succeed? It's just, why? No, this is going to be, you know, bumbling from one end of the galaxy to the other, and it's going to be the best ride ever.
I hope so.
Yeah.
If I could ask for one, like, just tiny little Easter egg in Guardians of the Galaxy, you know what I want to see? In a crowd shot or something like that, I want to see Howard the Duck.
I think this is the only movie that you could, in the current Marvel plans, I think it's the only movie that you can pull that off.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I'm sure it won't happen, but I would kind of love it too.
The best part would be is if you had the Stan Lee cameo where he's in the crowd, dressed up as some, you know, other a human or humanoid from another planet, and he's talking to Howard the Duck, and he says his offhanded, you know, one line comment. He gives the zinger to Howard the Duck. That would be that would be how you would pull it off.
That'd be great. Marvel, call us. We'll fix this.
DC calls us for fixing their Gotham problems,
which they've clearly not taken because they cast somebody as blah blah
right.
blah. Blah.
DC execs are not listening to the podcast like Kevin Smith is.
If I were DC execs though, I wouldn't listen to this podcast either, because we don't really have a whole lot of nice things to say about them. I do want to correct something I said earlier in the podcast, which never happens. I usually just don't. James Gunn has actually done two superhero movies, both of which I've seen. I forgot he also did. He did The Specials, which was his second movie that he wrote and produced and is in, which is really fantastically good. And he did Super from 2010, which has Rainn Wilson and Ellen Page in it.
That movie is
awesome, and also about a superhero. Shut up, crime. So that's a good movie. Both of those are good. So if you want to see. If you want to see directorial what he can do, go watch Super, and then pick up Specials too, because it's got the superhero comedy that you want and that you'll enjoy. So check both of those up beforehand. Adam brought up before the podcast. Adam brought something up now that we're talking about other aliens that we're hoping to appear in Guardians of the Galaxy. Adam brought up something that actually involves the Hulk.
The Hulk. Apparently in Guardians of the Galaxy. They are planning on introducing Sakaarans. One of the characters is credited in, I think, on IMDb as Sakaaran pilot. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the comics, planet Sakaar, I'm not exactly sure how it's pronounced. That's the planet that the Hulk kind of accidentally got shot to in Planet Hulk. And Planet Hulk is probably one of the better received story arcs in Marvel's past 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
It was much more well received than Civil War, and Civil War was pretty well received. Mm-hmm. But it would also be a great vehicle for something it's obviously not going to be in phase two, but I could see them doing something in phase three, which, by the way, just as a side note, when the fuck has this ever happened in movie history where we've got people planning interconnected movies 2, 3, 4 years out?
Right.
This is insane, and Marvel is pulling it off.
It's crazy, but it's something I think we could only get from a comic book company.
Right.
Absolutely. Right. Because
they're
used
crazy
to
like a fox.
It really is.
Or a talking raccoon.
Well, they're used to having to juggle all these different storylines on a, you know, regular basis as it is, because, I mean, as compared to the kind of stuff that you see through, say, Civil War or Infinite Crisis, this is child's play.
Right.
The hardest part would be juggling, you know, contracts for everyone that would be involved, which is part of the reason.
Rights are actually becoming, because they're expanding Marvel's cinematic universe, rights are actually becoming an issue with the Skrull in particular, because apparently Fox
thinks they own and
Disney, they both think they have rights to the Skrull. So who knows what's going to happen there.
Well, if I had to guess, I would say it's going to be the same thing that happened to Wanda and Pietro, where they just both do them, you know, use them.
And apparently, on the Wanda and Pietro front, we've got hot Marvel on Marvel like competition going on far as movies go. Because for X-Men Days of Future Past, they released the I think, was it Entertainment Weekly that had the different covers? Yeah. Or
Empire.
Empire. It was Empire. They had the different covers, and they had Quicksilver on one of their covers. But then apparently rumor has it that the post-credits sting at the end of Captain America is going to introduce Wanda and Pietro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've seen pictures of both Wanda and Pietro from Days of Future Past a couple of weeks ago. But as far as I know, it's been confirmed that in the post-credits sequence for Captain America, we're going to see both Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, which is just some Jedi chess.
Yeah, honestly, that has me excited, if for no other reason than, you know, it's going to be a good post-credit sting.
Yeah.
Or at least an interesting one. Nothing pissed me off more last year than the post-credit sting for Iron Man 3. Like, that was the thing about Iron Man 3 that annoyed me.
I don't even remember the post-credit
sting. It was Ruffalo and Downey. Downey was on the couch, and he was, you know, to Mark Ruffalo. Yeah. And Mark Ruffalo was just falling asleep like, I'm not this kind of doctor. I thought it was great. I loved it. Sure, it didn't move the story forward at all, but it, you know, it tied in Ruffalo again, which I'm always happy about. It kind of further showed and cemented the friendship and relationship that's between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it kind of put a little bit of a bow on Downey as Iron Man, which I think is something that they're planning to kind of transition out of.
Yeah.
There is something coming up in Winter Soldier that I've been talking to Basie about that's a bit of a spoiler.
Oh, are you talking about the TV spot?
Yeah, so
they released.
Yeah, but I've been thinking about this before the TV spot got released. But before we go further, big spoiler, in case you're, you know, concerned about this kind of thing at all, I've been kind of reading tea leaves by watching the different trailers and things, and I got a feeling, I don't think Nick Fury is going to live through Winter Soldier. Like, I'm pretty dead set positive Nick Fury is going to die in Winter Soldier, or at least he's going to die as Nick Fury can die, you know, as much as he can in a comic.
I'm pretty sure Nick Fury has died, quote unquote, died more than anybody else in the history of comics.
Yeah, exactly. It's really easy to kill Nick Fury, but it's real hard to actually
kill
Nick Fury.
They must have done it at least a dozen times.
Yeah. He's like a cat.
It's the Mark Twain quote. Smoking is the easiest thing to quit in the world. I must have done it at least a dozen times. But with the actual Marvel twist, Nick Fury is the easiest person in the Marvel universe to kill. They must have done it at least 100 times. There's been talk. There's been this. Little things. It looks like Cap is moving into a position where he has to take over, or at least for a while, lead S.H.I.E.L.D. And he has to figure out, you know, how do I take this organization that is the opposite of everything that I have come to know with justice. You know, that's the whole quandary that's going on. We're dealing with postmodern Captain America here. Mm-hmm. That's the quandary that's going on. Fury dies. There was a spot that I saw get posted on Marvel's page on Facebook earlier this week, and it was a rough kind of trailer, but it had in there, Fury's last words to us were such and such.
Right, but so, see, it's taken, I mean, a trailer, pretty much every line in any trailer is going to be taken at least somewhat out of context.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, Fury's last words were, what it was like, don't trust anybody or something like that. That could mean his last words before he was kidnapped, his last words before he was incapacitated, his last words before he went into a coma, his last words, you know. Da 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 da. It's very open to interpretation, and honestly,
they're showing us a lot of Black Widow looking sadly at a figure wrapped in a sheet, and they're showing a lot of someone in surgery, and we see Fury get, you know, shot up by Bucky. We see the
part of the trailer where this is the thing that I think pokes a tiny hole into your otherwise pretty valid theory. Killing Fury off now would be pretty, I mean, he's obviously going to come back. It'd be the same sort of thing they did with killing off Coulson.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, killing
Samuel
him off
L. Jackson
be,
has like 5-10 other movies on his contract.
Well, Samuel L. Jackson always has 5 or 10 yes. other movies. But I mean, we see the part in the trailer that's been released where Samuel L. Jackson's character, Nick Fury, looks at Captain America and says, "Well, you're in charge now," and he's all bloody and cut up. So I think that pokes a tiny hole in your theory.
I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm not saying that that's absolutely what's going to happen. I'm just saying I have a feeling that that is something that they could do.
I think it's possible. For me, if I were to prognosticate, I would think that Fury kind of has to go against that shadowy council that he has to deal with.
Yeah.
And he, which requires him then to kind of give the reins up to Captain America, let him do his thing. Captain America roots out that shadowy council and then says, "I'm done with you, S.H.I.E.L.D. I can't deal with this whole thing anymore," which kind of sets up the Captain America we got in Civil War.
Yeah. Especially if at some point, if anyone at any point, even hints at superhero registration. Oh God, that's going to just blow the doors off the place.
Yeah, I don't see them going for a Civil War soon.
No, I don't think they have enough heroes yet to do that. Because with Civil War, they had heroes, you know, coming out of every wazoo. It was the same problem that was discussed in Kingdom Come for DC. They had so many heroes that there were problems, and that's where Civil War kind of came out of.
Right.
You had all these heroes around. In the Marvel movie universe, you still don't have that.
No, you don't have nearly enough. And honestly,
build that up in short order using the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series as a vehicle for that.
But they would have to do a flash forward. Like, you would have to have years of development in that. It's not something that could be done in the course of a season, I don't think.
Right.
Unless you pull a Heroes, you know, flash forward. You know, something like that.
It would
like
need if they went to become a problem. Right now, the dearth of heroes is not a problem.
No.
On the Earth that's represented in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Honestly, I think we need more. I think we need bigger names. That's something I would see in, you know, maybe starting getting hinted at the end of 3 once we have, you know, whoever. Because you also have to remember that we're really only talking about 3... maybe 4 heroes that we're dealing with now. I mean, that would be affected. You have Hulk, you have Iron Man, and you have Thor.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all, because Scarlet Witch, or I'm sorry, because Black Widow, she doesn't really count. She's a, you know, she's a government operative. And Hawkeye is sort of the same way.
They're both agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, they're not vigilantes. So, I mean, you got 3 right now. Of course, we're getting Wanda and Pietro. We're getting Ant-Man at some point in time. It also, I don't think, would really have anything to do with Guardians of the Galaxy because they're not even on this planet. So
you got to have, like, at least 20 more Netflix series worth of heroes before you can get to that point.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the Netflix series.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm looking forward to those.
Yeah. So one thing that happened this week was there was a report from the Mary Sue that Black Widow would be getting a solo film that they kind of walked back, which I was extremely just gobsmacked. I was so happy. And then
nothing I think really changed. Yeah. It's just someone decided to report that they were confirming there would be a Black Widow movie. I don't foresee them, which I sort of knew just from the way the report was phrased, because they're not confirming any movies like that. Yeah. They're not confirming movies we're pretty certain we're going to get, you know, out of that.
They've confirmed, what have they confirmed so far? I think the furthest out they've confirmed is Ant-Man.
Yeah, and we're getting more movies, but, I mean, they confirmed Ant-Man forever ago, 2 years ago.
Everything is still just in development on those fronts.
Right.
Strange has still not been confirmed. I think Cap 3 has been confirmed.
Yeah, they are reportedly shopping directors, and there are 4 names that are being floated around that are pretty solid for Doctor Strange. The thing with Black Widow, Feige spoke to Variety, Kevin Feige, and was talking about her part in both Age of Ultron and Winter Soldier and how it can grow out. He says specifically, the notion of exploring that even further in her own film would be great, and we have some development work with that. When we meet the Avengers at the top of Age of Ultron, it's a very different landscape than we left them, blah, blah, blah. He starts going into it from there. So they're close, like they're hovering over it. If we get another here's our next phase unveiling, I would bet cash money on the barrel she's in it. That's just me. But we're still not to the part that they can actually go into that next phase.
No, I agree. I definitely think that it's doable once we get fit, because we know the story behind Winter Soldier. That's going to deal a lot with the Soviets, which is her background to a T. I think we could definitely get something along the lines of a Black Widow movie that has to deal with the Soviets and the past Soviet threat. You could get Red Guardian, a.k.a. some Russian name I can't remember off the top of my head. Her former husband. You get Hawkeye wrapped up into that. That could be pretty interesting, especially if they had sort of the Americans sort of relationship. Yeah. There are several other Soviet superheroes that could be, you know, used there.
Or even East Asian heroes, you know, like Crimson Dynamo or somebody.
Yeah, I'm thinking more specifically Soviet because of the tie-in with...
Exactly.
With...
Titanium Man, he was Soviet, was he not?
I do not recall. I know Dark Star was Soviet. And there's one more that I actually was thinking about the other day and can't remember now. But I know we had Dark Star, we had Red Guardian, and Black Widow, and there's another two or three, I'm sure. Of course, Wanda and Pietro are also both... sort of Magneto-y. Yeah, one of those.
Titanium Man was Soviet.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. Man would be another really interesting... because I mean, what we've seen so far is sort of the American heroes. We still have the British superheroes, Captain Britain, Psylocke, that whole thing.
We need to bring Wakanda into this at some point with Black Panther.
Yeah, I'm sure we're gonna see. Something with Black Panther before too terribly long.
I think so too. Black Panther is one of those that they really like to pull in and keep. Right. And, which I enjoy. Black Panther to me is a sort of superhero they could, I think, probably forget about to their detriment. But Marvel has always seemed to be pretty serious about him. So
I would not be surprised to see Black Panther come in, maybe even introduced in one of the Netflix series that they're planning.
Yeah. I mean, they've already done an animated miniseries, I want to say, that I saw for, and I think it ran on BET, but it was quite solid. It was kind of a mix between an animated series and a motion comic, but it was solid. And
see, normally Marvel is kind of screwing the pooch when it comes to the animated stuff. That's been one thing that's been interesting is DC's animated has generally been pretty good and Marvel's has generally not been very good.
Yes, that's right. Although I did see, I saw Hulk as animated. That's how I first saw Planet Hulk. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it was like Hulk War or Hulk Versus is what it's called, but it was still, that was how I saw
it was actually just that. Planet Hulk, and it was actually pretty close to the comics. There were some minor differences because of rights. I think in the cartoon, if I remember correctly, when Hulk goes into the gladiatorial arena, he has to fight Beta Ray Bill.
Yes.
Which I would be very surprised if they ever even try to introduce Beta Ray Bill into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
If they ever introduced Beta Ray Bill at that point, one of the reasons why I was excited about the Black Widow solo film was that it basically shot all over DC. You know, DC saying, oh, we can't introduce Wonder Woman because it's too complicated of a character. Marvel is running around with a lampshade on their head. They're throwing in characters from all over the place. They have a fucking talking raccoon. If they brought in Beta Ray Bill, that would basically be like, complicated, schmomplicated. Here's a freaking, you know, horse with a hammer who's a cyborg who flies around the dimensions and fights crime because he's a paladin.
That's one thing that Marvel has been doing well is with their stuff, even though they've been picking and choosing fairly carefully, they haven't said, oh, we can't do that because yada, yada, yada. Or it's not just because, I mean, saying that you can't do a Wonder Woman movie is just saying you're not willing to try.
You're not willing to give it a shot. I mean, if you want to do, if you want to do the whole, you know, we've looked at it from an actuarial standpoint, we don't think it'll make any money, you know, at least that has some meat behind it. You could agree, you could disagree, but just saying you couldn't do it because it's too complicated.
Yeah,
that's pretty. Shitty.
If DC was saying we can't do a Huntress movie because it's too complicated, I would totally fucking agree with that. Because if you've ever read the Huntress's Wikipedia entry, I still don't understand where the fuck she comes from.
Yeah, she's a bit. But
the problem with the Huntress, not to get too deep into comic, the problem with the Huntress is they kept using character. They kept using her character as sort of a like a drop in. So she just shows up in places. And that, and she gets a backstory, and then they change it, and then they change it again, and oh, she's a completely different person, and they change it again, and you're like, so you try to get too deep into it, because I'm a huge Green Arrow fan, and Huntress and Green Arrow have gone toe-to-toe multiple times, and you never know where the hell she comes from. It's different from Longbow Hunters, it's different from everything.
She's actually currently part of the Bat family right now, isn't she? I think that happened.
I think she's always been kind of tenuously connected to the Bat family.
But I think they solidified that connection recently in the comics.
Maybe. I don't know.
It was I think it happened after Gotham flooded, but I could be totally remembering wrong because I haven't read them. I've just, you know, caught up here.
I haven't picked up a DC book since they started the New 52. So
The only comic I've been reading regularly currently, and it's excellent, is Gail Simone's Red Sonja.
Mm-hmm.
The new issue for number 7 just came out this week. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. She's doing the Tomb Raider reboot, and that I will absolutely pick up day one. But I, other than that, not really been reading comics.
Yeah.
Because I never have the money or the time, and I just it was never a habit that I got into. Mm-hmm.
Right. Going back though to women in film, I think honestly looking at what Marvel and Disney are doing, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't decide whether or not they're going to do a Black Widow movie until they see how the Jessica Jones series on Netflix does.
I don't know.
Do that because it's two different audiences.
It is two different audiences, but they might just see like, okay, how will it be received if in this universe we have a series that's being helmed by a female character?
But I think that they're already getting enough of the answer they need from how people have reacted to Black Widow in the films that she's been in.
There's a difference between fan and audience reaction to a character in a movie and fan and audience and ticket reaction to what we see with other movies that are like that. I mean, people can... How big is the... Not to bring this up again, because it's a sore subject for everybody, and I think people are starting to hate it when this comes up, but you look at the reaction to Firefly, and how everyone says, we should have Firefly come back, and blah, 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 and they're not even talking about it. So it's the same sort of thing. I mean, you have to understand that these movies they need to have some sort of they need to make sense financially to make them, regardless what, you know, we want to say or want to believe. We don't have the numbers that are being used. And I can see them wanting a little more confirmation before you do a Black Widow movie. I think it would be good for a Black Widow movie to ensure that it's done the best way to do it, to where the most people will go out and see it, which will give confirmation for companies like DC to do a Wonder Woman movie. Or to see, I spoke briefly on the last podcast, I'd like to see a, completely jumped out of my brain, I'd like to see an Emma Frost movie. I think there's tons of stuff there that can be used. You know, I'd like to see a lot of movies. The first one, the one that breaks the barrier, needs to be done properly. And take a little time, make sure it's done well, and then we won't have to worry about this nonsense of will it work or will it not work again,
You gotta look at what the last the last superhero movie that was a female character in the title role was Catwoman.
Right, which was just a god-awful movie. Not having anything to do with the fact that it was a female-helmed movie,
but it was a terrible movie.
If Catwoman did really well and was a good movie and people loved it, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yep.
It would
be talking about, when do you think Wonder Woman 2 is going to be?
Exactly. And let's look at the trailer for Black Widow. And yeah, no, that would be the reality we would be in. So, you know, it's the same thing we got with comic book movies to begin with. I mean, I can remember reading my very first Spider-Man comic when I was probably, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8, and reading the letters in the back, and they were talking about rumors of a Captain America movie. And how everyone says they're not going to make a Captain America movie because comic nerds don't ever go to the movies. Once you got Spider-Man, once fucking Tobey Maguire started swinging around New York City, then we started moving down the line.
Credit where credit is due, it was Blade. Blade's what did it.
You know, I have to disagree. I think the sort of comic book hero movies we're getting now, Blade was a little closer to your interview with, I mean, obviously a comic character, but I don't think enough people saw him as that. Spider-Man was a really big name comic book franchise that was made into a movie and did crazy money. And that's where
and did so over the course of the trilogy.
Right.
If we had never had Blade, we wouldn't have had the X-Men. The X-Men came out before Spider-Man.
It's true.
The first X-Men movie did.
True.
And it was a big hit too. Then we had Spider-Man in 01,
mm-hmm.
and then from there, I think 05, we had Fantastic Four. Somewhere in there was, mm-hmm. for some reason, Ghost Rider.
Well, look at it this way. This is kind of why I say Spider-Man. Spider-Man was an incredibly huge success. Spider-Man makes X-Men look like dog shit. Spider-Man's huge.
True.
Had we not had X-Men, this whole experiment might have died with the string of Fantastic Four, Ghost Rider, X2 was well received, X3 was a pile of shit, Wolverine, this whole experiment might have, without Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2, this whole thing would probably not be happening, which is why I spend such credence on Spider-Man, even though I like the Amazing Spider-Man a little more. So,
I agree.
Just me. We do need to move on to talk about another Marvel property, because we've spent tons of time talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, as we are wont to do. Fantastic Four released the reboot for Fantastic Four has released their cast list.
For the
four leads, right. It is as follows. Michael B. Jordan is going to be Johnny Storm. You might remember him if you saw Fruitvale Station. He was in the lead. I love Fruitvale Station. It really sucks that it's not getting any attention. He's also in a movie that's out right now called That Awkward Moment, which is terrible. Reed Richards.
He was in Friday Night Lights, the TV series. And also Michael B. Jordan was in Chronicle, which if you want to see if he can have superhero chops, that's the movie to go watch.
Right, and he was on The Wire. You're also getting Mr. Fantastic, who is Miles Teller. Miles Teller was in The Spectacular Now, which is a really great movie. If you haven't seen it, you should. He's also in a movie that's currently in production called That Awkward Moment, which is terrible. Don't watch it. Ben Grimm, aka The Thing, is Jamie Bell, who is most well known for playing Billy Elliot, the ballerina in 2000. He was also in King Kong. He was in...
Isn't Twinkle Toes a thing that Ben Grimm tends to say a lot?
Yes, not in reference to himself. he was also in he plays Tintin in The Adventures of Tintin and The Adventures of Tintin 2.
He was also in Jumper.
And
the guy who wasn't Darth Vader.
And if you want to see his penis, go watch Nymphomaniac. Which, that's a weird fucking movie, which I have not seen and might skip. And then Miss Marvel, the Invisible Woman, a.k.a. the Invisible Girl, if you go back far enough, a.k.a. Sue Richards, a.k.a. Sue Storm, is Kate Mara, who you know from several things. She's currently in House of Cards. That's where most people know her. She was in We Are Marshall. She was in Iron Man 2 as a U.S. Marshal. Interesting. Didn't know that. She's been on a bunch of other shows, including House of Cards, and she voiced a character on Tron Uprising.
On a side note, my dentist totally looks like Kate Mara.
Huh. Nice.
I am a lucky man.
Indeed you are. The one thing that... So it's... honestly, I think Fantastic Four is going to be terrible because it's a movie made specifically so the rights for Fantastic Four don't go back to Marvel. They stay with Fox. Or Sony. Who is it that owns Fantastic Four? Is it Fox?
Fantastic Four is owned by Fox right now. But the same thing happened back in, what, 94 when they did that god-awful Fantastic Four
Rise
movie
of the
that
Silver
never...
Oh, no, yeah, no, no.
No,
you're talking about
no,
the first
no.
One. Yeah,
94.
Yeah.
The one... Yeah, the one that wasn't even ever released to theater.
Yeah.
If you look hard enough, you can find really crappy pirated versions of it.
And it's not good.
Oh, it's awful.
It's
Oh, it's bad.
Here's the thing. They have some good actors. You have Michael B. Jordan, who was in... they're in some kind of lower-budget movies, and they're good actors. Michael B. Jordan was in Fruitvale Station, which was an excellent movie. I could see it going for Best Picture if enough people paid attention to it. Miles Teller was in The Spectacular Now, which is another fantastically good movie. That you should see if you get the opportunity to. In fact, if you have nothing to do for the rest of the day, watch both of those movies and you will see those are both really great movies and they did a really great job on them. Jamie Bell is a little bizarre because he's Tintin and he was a ballerina 13 years ago, 14 years ago. He's going to be in Tintin 2, which is going to come out the same time as Fantastic Four is, which is weird. And Kate Mara is in House of Cards, which is really cool. The big sticking point that people have had, and I got into a really large argument on FARC about this, is that Michael B. Jordan is a black man. And he's playing Johnny Storm, a.k.a. the Human Torch, who is historically not a black man. The thing that I hear a lot of people saying is, it's just changing his character. It's just changing his race to change the race. He's Sue Storm's brother. Sue Storm is white. The actress they have to play Sue Storm is white. It makes it needlessly complicated. It's something else they have to explain. Blah, 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 blah. Take this with the idea in mind that I think this movie is going to be terrible by saying it doesn't matter what color
who catches on fire and flies around.
Right. First of all, he's always going to be red. Let's be clear. But yeah. It doesn't matter. He could be adopted and you don't really even have to spend a lot of time talking about it. You just say, right. I'm adopted. There we go.
The list of reasons of how it could happen are perfectly logical.
Yes.
Are logical. They exist.
They change nothing about the movie or his relationship.
They change nothing. They change nothing at all. The only thing that it changes is that we don't have another white person as a superhero, for God's sakes. I mean, come on. It's pretty monochromatic out there.
You do get people who are... Some of them are actually just purists who want to stay true to the source material, but some of them are hiding behind that. I got into a discussion about this last night Friday night with some friends, and the point I made was, okay, so you're completely cool with the idea of a guy yelling flame on, bursting into flames, flying around and throwing fireballs, but as soon as he's black, that's too much.
Exactly. Yeah. I said something very similar in my online argument. I basically set it up the same way because the guy I was kind of going back and forth with was saying, well, adopted kids aren't, you know, the relationship is different and they're always this and they're that. And I said, so you're cool with four scientists going into space, getting irradiated by gamma rays and coming back with superpowers and defeating a bad guy who wears a metal mask and is based in a country that doesn't actually exist. But the fact that someone loves their adopted black sibling is hard for you to, it's hard for you to throw that aside because...
And Johnny and Sue are always fighting,
nothing about Johnny Storm's character says he has to be white. All it says he has to be cocky. That's really it. And there's nothing that says he can't be black. There's nothing that says he can't be white. If you're thinking, well, he's white in the comics, why not make him white? And who gives a shit? How many times do we have people change races in comics? No, well, very few people say anything.
Not very many, actually, but...
Oh, Nick Fury was originally a white guy.
Nick Fury was originally a white guy, and then when Ultimates came out, he became Sam Jackson.
Right.
And
the actual person, Sam Jackson.
And they make... Yes, yeah. They make references in the comic
that. We've now
and actually, I think that's one of the reasons Samuel L. Jackson wanted on in the Marvel movies to begin with.
We've had a Latino / Black Spider-Man. We currently have a Muslim
Miss Marvel.
Yes.
We had a Latino Spider-Man back in the 90s with Spider-Man 2099.
Right. We've had the Green Lantern power go from a white person to a black person.
To a ginger, even.
Yeah, right. It's hardly a person.
Oh, God. Oh, God. But there's so many... You know, it goes back to the same thing we were discussing with gender a minute ago. You could... say, well, you know, the comics were made for the people who were buying comics, which were by and large white guys. Mm-hmm. But if people don't see themselves in the comics, what reason do they have to buy them? You are creating your own argument. You are over time creating the evidence for your own flawed and shitty argument. Right. Marvel's editor-in-chief said a week or two ago, or no, actually said several months ago, but this past week or so kind of proved his point, that the eyes don't lie when you go to comic conventions right now. There are more and more and more and more women that are going every day to comic stores and comic conventions, and they're getting more involved, and they are starved for content that they can see themselves in and that they can relate to. Miss Marvel number one is the highest selling digital comic for Marvel on Comixology, on all their platforms. Mm-hmm. It is the best-selling digital comic, period. So the idea that a woman, the idea that a person of color cannot, you know, step into these roles, even roles that have traditionally been held by males or by white characters, any argument that you make, including the argument of, well, it's always been this way, is bullshit.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Play the game. Anyone but a white guy. Anytime that you're talking about casting anyone, start by playing the game. Anybody but a white guy. Cast a woman. Cast a person of color. Cast anyone but a white male in those roles. Try it. Just try it. And see if you don't come up with a more interesting concept. Because how else do you think we get the Miles Moraleses of the world? You know?
Especially with Spider-Man, that works for Peter Parker.
It does.
And that, I mean, going back to a old argument, but back before Amazing Spider-Man came out, there was a lot of talk and a lot of push on the internet to cast Donald Glover from Community as Peter Parker.
Right.
I didn't watch Community at the time, so I didn't have an opinion on it, but now I'm caught up with Community, and yeah, he would have been a kick-ass Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. It would have been good, and there's nothing about a poor kid from Queens who is orphaned and being raised by his aunt and uncle that screams that has to be a white kid.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that where it can be fluid, it should be fluid. You know, there are certain instances where certain aspects of the character can't necessarily be fluid, but where it can be fluid, it should be fluid. And,
I mean, they were talking about making Dr. Doom a woman, possibly. That I think that's been shot down since then. But, you know, we could have seen a Victoria Von Doom.
I don't think Dr. Doom is going to be the villain in this current reboot of Fantastic Four. I think they've come out and said that they're not pursuing Dr. Doom as the villain.
Because they've got to make something different from the previous
movie. Otherwise, it will literally be the previous Fantastic Four, and it will be terrible. You know... there just aren't really that many good arguments to be made. I was just saying I didn't think the actress that they picked for Wonder Woman in Batman vs. Superman, I didn't see it and I didn't love the casting. That, in my mind, was based on something that is physical about the character. She's an Amazonian. They picked a female who is not necessarily Amazonian in stature and, you know, shape.
She's hitting the gym, though. I've seen some pictures of her guns. They're getting there.
Amazonian. They're large. I've always imagined Diana Prince as being, like, tall. And but
like 6'6".
Not 6'6", but but tall.
Everybody wants Lucy Lawless to play
exactly
Diana Prince. I mean, they want
Lucy Lawless from Xena days. Have you seen Lucy Lawless lately? She's good. I don't know if she's...
You know what? I said the same thing, and then a friend of mine pointed me to something that... It's a show. I can't remember the name of it. I'll probably have to hook up with you later and let you know.
She was on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, well, no. This is recent. She stepped back into her Xena role for something. Yeah. She could totally do it.
You know who else I think would be a good cast for Wonder Woman? I'm drawing a blank on the actress's name, but the girl who... Laura Prepon.
From that 70s show
and Orange is the New Black. Orange is the New Black, you can't tell me she wouldn't be a good one.
Yeah, no, I'm right there
she'd
with
you. You'd have to hit the gym. But
there
yeah,
are actresses she's... out there, I think. My big problem is with the girl that they cast is that she's very supermodel-y. She's, you know, really thin. She's Kate Moss-esque. I would have... Now, she could prove me wrong and be a badass and kick ass and be completely realistic and everything's good. I could see her playing more of a Black Widow-type character, which Scarlett Johansson does really well. You see, those sort of arguments, I think, are arguments you can make based on factors of the character that exist and should not be changed with, or it couldn't be changed without really changing the character.
You want a badass that I think would do really well and has actually done the voice of Wonder Woman in DC Universe Online, Gina Torres from Firefly.
Yeah.
She was also Cleopatra in Xena.
You could definitely pull out some Gina Torres. That name has floated around quite a bit, usually among the Firefly folks, but among other people too. So
yeah, I think what's worrisome about the new Man of Steel and how DC is proceeding is there has been no casting that has come out that people have really gotten behind.
The only
thing that people got behind was Bryan Cranston and Lex Luthor.
And they're not doing it. Right. I was going to say the same thing.
The internet pulled the massive practical joke that made us all cry.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think ultimately, going back to what Jeremy has been saying about Fantastic Four, we don't trust the people that are making the movie to make a good movie. Because they have demonstrated to us before in previous movies that they have made with similar thing source material, they can't make a good movie that we are interested in seeing. So we are not going to go see your movie that we don't think you can make a good movie, regardless of who you put in it.
Right.
If you come back at me later and say, well, we put Wonder Woman in this movie and it failed, so obviously it's her fault, I will break your kneecaps.
Now, when you say the people, are you referring to the director of the new Fantastic Four movie or just Fox in general?
I'm saying the studio, I'm saying the directors, particularly for Batman and Superman. I'm saying the people putting that together in general, we don't trust them to make a good movie because we've seen the movies they've made and generally that's a no.
Well, this is my issue with the Fantastic Four movie. They're making it so they don't lose the rights. They're not making it because it's a movie that needs to be made. They're not making it because someone has a good idea. They're not making it because someone wants to make the movie. They're making it so they don't lose the rights. Look at all of the best superhero movies that were made by people who wanted to make a superhero movie. That's why superhero movies fail. That's why DC fails. They think, we should do a Green Lantern movie. And then they start the Green Lantern process. They have somebody write it. They get a director. They make the movie, and it sucks. Look at Iron Man. The guy who made Iron Man, whose name has totally...
John Favreau.
Yeah, John Favreau, wanted to make an Iron Man movie. He said, I have this great idea for an Iron Man movie. And he went to the studio and said, I want to make an Iron Man movie. Here are my ideas. And they say, hey, you know what? You're a guy who looks like he wants to make a movie. Go make an Iron Man movie. And he made an Iron Man movie that he wanted to make, and it was good. No one wants to
And he
to
took
make...
Iron Man from being one of these characters who people may or may not have known about to being probably one of the top-tier superheroes in the country.
Because the desire was there. No one wants to make a Fantastic Four movie. And that's, at the end of the day, why their Justice League attempt is going to fail. Because no one wanted to make Man of Steel. No one wants to make Batman versus Superman. These are clearly studio ideas. No one wants to make these fucking movies. They don't want to make them. Find somebody who genuinely... start taking in scripts and directors for whatever superhero they want to do a movie on based out of the DC comic universe. Let them pitch. And then let them make their movie.
On DC's front, I wouldn't say that nobody wants to make those movies.
The people who are making
the movie are the people who want to make money, not the movie.
Right.
And that's why we got the Superman that we did.
Exactly. DC will be successful when they start making movies. They start allowing people who want to make their movies, make their movies. Like I said, put out a call. Say if you're a director or a producer and you want to make a movie based on DC properties, come up with a pitch and let's hear it. You might get Flash. You might get Aquaman. You might get fucking Hot Girl.
Booster Gold.
Booster Gold.
Oh, Booster Gold.
Fucking Shazam. A.K.A.
Hey, Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. You know, you might get any of those. And instead of thinking, oh, you know what? I think, well, yeah, we should be able to do this so we can get one. No, let them make their goddamn movie. Let them make their Flash movie. Let them make another Catwoman movie. Let them make just a Lex Luthor movie. Fuck it. Let them make a movie they want to make. Then you will be successful. Why? Because the movie will be good. That's the code. That's why Marvel is succeeding and DC is failing. Because Marvel is allowing people like James Gunn let's call a spade a spade. Love James Gunn. He's fantastic. He's great. No problems with James Gunn at all. This is far and away a bigger movie than James Gunn has ever made. His last movie, or his last thing, was Super in 2010, which was an independent movie.
Which was very low budget.
Super, ultra low budget. And yeah. R-rated to the hilt. We're talking about the guy who wrote Scooby-Doo and Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed. I mean, his biggest movie has been Slither.
Slither is actually a pretty decent movie.
It's a horror movie. He's doing horror movies and then PG porn. He did a segment for Movie 43. And then the next credit on his list is Thor: The Dark World as a director for the mid-credit scene. And then he's doing Guardians of the Galaxy. This is the guy that he was in Citizen Toxie like 14 years ago.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
They're letting him make Guardians of the Galaxy.
They're letting him make Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is how we get Uga Chaka.
It's not even... look at Guardians of the Galaxy. If you had to pick any plan for a superhero movie coming out that no one ever really asked for, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. No one asked for it. We're the same. We were like, Guardians of the Galaxy? Really? You know what?
The analogy I made way back when was that, you know, there was one closeted geek studio exec who went into Hollywood because he loved, you know, this is like the one thing he wanted to do. So he bided his time. He greenlit all the crappy ass movies that he knew would make money, but were crappy. He never got to do it. And he finally got the chance. It's like, okay, you have passed all these other barriers. You can make your dream come true. And he reached into the back of his closet and he said, Guardians of the Galaxy. And everyone goes, oh shit.
And I'm going to get the guy from Scooby-Doo. What if we unleashed it?
Well, and that's what Marvel has been doing right all along. The directors they've gotten have been directors that want the projects.
Right.
You had Jon Favreau doing Iron Man. You had Kenneth Branagh directed Thor. And you've got Edgar Wright doing Ant-Man. These are people who want to do these movies. Whereas the only time I think DC has done that was with Batman Begins.
Right. Christopher Nolan wanted to do
Batman Begins the way he wanted to do it. Then they let him do the other two. And when it came around to there was a little bit of it in Green Lantern, but it's been that way with the latest Superman movie too. Mm-hmm. Whoever they went to direct, I don't remember who directed Green Lantern, but the guy who did 300, who did the Man of Steel, they went to him and pretty much said, hey, you know, Batman Begins, we want you to do that, but with Superman. Can you make it super dark and realistic and gritty? And that was where they fucked up. And that's where they're continuing to fuck up, because they're trying to do this dark, realistic, gritty, just morose and tortured and conflicted Superman. And that's not who Superman is. Hell, they had the Green Lantern be conflicted in his fucking movie. And by definition, the Green Lantern is not supposed to be conflicted.
Right.
that's kind of what his power is based on.
The only conflict that should occur is whether or not he is afraid. That's the flowchart. Is right. Green Lantern afraid? No. Is the thing he's fighting yellow? No. You are good to kick ass.
Exactly.
Is it made of wood if you are the original Green Lantern? No. Then you are all good to go.
The closest Hal thing Jordan. We've seen to a good Green Lantern on film was in the fucking Lego movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
And honestly, the Superman in that movie was better than the Superman in Man of Steel. Batman in that movie was better than the Batman in Dark Knight Rises.
I've seen people saying that the Batman from the Lego movie is like replacing the Bruce Timm Batman, the animated series Batman. It's like the best Batman ever. I still haven't seen the movie yet, and I need to, but
I wouldn't go that far. Oh, yeah, you desperately need to see that movie. Yeah, it is so much fun.
It's going to take time. But, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, they've got good directors. I mean, you're talking about Man of Steel. It's Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder wrote and directed 300.
Right. Watchmen. And he directed Watchmen. Watchmen was the best that movie could have been.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't without its flaws, but if you have any ideas on how to make a better Watchmen movie, I'd fucking love to hear it.
That's true. And they had him do Man of Steel. He didn't want to do Man of Steel. You know, I bet if Zack Snyder, if there's a comic book movie he'd like to do, I bet he could do it and be pretty good at it. I mean, he doesn't make critically acclaimed films, but at the same time, he does pretty good on many of his own
things. He stays true to the source material. And, you know, some of the, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of shitty comic book story arcs out there. But there's a lot of really good ones, too. If you gave Zack Snyder a Red Sun movie, that would be phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool, and everybody would just lose their shit over it because, you know, Soviet Superman. But it's, you know, that would be something that Zack Snyder would do, could do well.
Yeah, if he wanted to do it, let him do it.
And honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that the Soviet Superman would be such a hard sell, I think it would do great.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is the key between Marvel and DC. DC doesn't let people make movies they want to make, and that's all that Marvel does, which is why we're getting this crazy out of left field Guardians of the Galaxy that blew up the internet this week.
Yep.
With people who I never would have guessed in my wildest fantasies that the world would be so fucking interested in Guardians of the Galaxy. No matter what.
You know, before I saw that trailer this past week, I honestly, you know, I halfway expected it to be a John Carter of Mars.
Uh-huh.
I halfway expected it to be that kind of a trailer, that kind of a feel to the movie, and probably have that kind of result. Because John Carter did horrible in the box office.
John Carter did so bad, someone wrote a book about why it did bad.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
A lot of that was due to the marketing. It's true. I saw the movie, and the movie was, I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie bad. It wasn't Lone Ranger bad. But it had almost no marketing behind it. So I think that's one reason it flopped.
Yeah, well, eventually, you know, Disney can't do everything right. They definitely didn't do John Carter right. They definitely didn't do Lone Ranger right. But there's one thing with the unholy concerning the unholy marriage of Marvel and Disney. Marvel could not be doing what they're doing without Disney money.
Nope.
And Marvel wouldn't be successful unless Disney, who owns them, allowed them to do what they're doing. So you combine Disney money with Marvel know-how, and that's how you get what we're getting. People making really great movies. DC doesn't have any of that. They have.
I mean, it's good that Disney is treating Marvel Studios in many of the same ways that they treated Pixar Studios
right,
for the longest time.
Right.
Although Pixar, I don't know, they've taken a few missteps lately, which I'm sad to say. Yeah. But
well, Marvel will step or Marvel, let Marvel step in, do some Marvel / Pixar movies, which would not shock me. That may actually happen pretty soon. Anyway, we are well beyond time, which does not shock me at all. As always, our music is Opera featuring Esset. Check them out on uhort.no. Check us out on Twitter. We are at GIR Podcast. If you have any questions, any comments, anything that you might want to share, shoot it to us on Twitter. We're on there all the time. You can also shoot it to us in the email. That's girpodcast@gmail.com. For Russell and Adam, this is Jeremy. Thank you for listening.
I am Groot.
What a bunch of a-holes.